In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And welcome. So glad you're joining us here on the iSpy Radio Show. As every week, we bring you a little more intelligence on big government. You know, 2019 was a wild year, and so much has happened. It's really hard to believe sometimes that it all got squished into a single year. But 2020 is going to be even more critical. A huge year. And so on this week's show, we're going to be doing a year in review and a year in preview. And, you know, we don't usually do that here on iSpy Radio, but we're also going to be doing something even more different because today I am joined by my producer, Carla Davenport. Carla, say hi to everybody.
Well, hi, and it's really exciting to be here. I just don't want to play let's stump the producer.
No, but it is a little weird to have you on the mic with me. You're usually behind the mic, shaking your finger at me when I do something wrong. So it's a little weird to have you actually being on in front of the mic as well. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit? Because like I say, you're normally behind the mic, but a lot of people really don't know all of the things that you do here.
Well, I guess as a producer, I line up all the guests, and I really try to take a look at what are common topics or what is happening that is sparking interest. And I stay away from trying to be the mainstream media and always talking about the same thing. We like unusual ways of going about it. And so what I try to bring to the show is that different perspective. I've got a master's degree in education, and it specializes in policy, and I just didn't think for a minute.
Not as easy as it looks, is
yeah,
it, folks?
Yeah, it specializes in policy. And so that also, I think, adds to how people are learning and what they are learning, why they are learning it. So I hope that adds to the show as well.
Well, I certainly think that that is one thing that both of us really focus on for this show, is that we really hope that when people listen to the show, they come away having learned something. And I think that was something that we had. Actually, it's been a part of iSpy Radio for a long time, is that we don't have guests on just to shout at them. When I watch these national shows and it's just a lot of people yelling and bickering over the various topics, I come away just kind of feeling disquieted over that. I don't really enjoy that. So I would much rather listen to a show where I come away having learned something. And so I think your educational background and my own as well, with my doctorate in business administration, I think that that's something that really, we hope anyway, creates a really good show that people can walk away from having felt like they learned something. One of the other things that you really bring to the show, I think, is that you're an avid researcher. And I should mention that you're also the news producer for one of our affiliate stations, KFIR, here in the Willamette Valley. She does the top and bottom of the hour news. And I know that that's been a real challenge for you as well.
It has been. I'm not the producer, though. I'm the one on air. I'm the on-air talent. And that has been a real different reversal in my thinking process. But yes, the research work behind it, and it has helped. And it really helps me as I look at stories for iSpy, because I'm reading even more than I was before. And it helps kind of zone me in into what is going on that will interest people as much as we possibly can, I guess, with some of even the bad news that we're getting.
Yes, and unfortunately, there was a lot of interesting and bad, but a lot of good news, though, too, back in 2019.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I thought we'd actually start this show by taking kind of a look back at some of the top stories and trends. And I really think probably if I had to say that there was one true top story trend for 2019, is that really that voters have turned on the globalists.
Yes.
And really this rebellion against politicians, I think. I think we saw internationally that Trump's populism has kicked in. I think it took a while for these other leaders and also people in other countries to realize that when Trump said America first, that doesn't mean America to the exclusion of all others. It's the notion of you have to focus on making your own country the best possible. And that, you know, it's like the old rising tides lifts all boats. I think that's true. And I think we saw that with Brexit. After a stubborn, almost, what, 2.5, 3 years after Brexit was voted in, finally the Remainers were kicked out over there in Britain. I think that really gives us a lot of hope for 2020 as we move forward here, because I think that the same thing is going to happen here in the U.S. And I think it's this notion that it's really reshaping how people view government. And it's this fundamental shift in how government functions and operates. It's not enough that government exists anymore. It's that it has to function, but it also has to have value.
Yes. And I think what's also kind of interesting behind that, as you were talking about, it's almost shameful to say America first, is that you look at the socialist agenda and you look at, along with that, maybe how unions operate, is that they can't function in a world where the individual sticks out. They can't operate in a world where the individual is important, and they can't operate in a world where the individual expires or produces or maximizes their abilities. And one of the things that I find really interesting that's going on right now is with Boris's new election and his big win from this last one, is that they are now looking at doing things like competency testing for government officials or government individuals. And what they want is they want to not only be able to fulfill their promises, but they've got to change government and how it works. And the only way to do that is to have people in there that aspire to do the best that they possibly can. So they're going to look at competency. What do these people bring to the job? What are their backgrounds? And are they more than just what the get by, you know, let's sit in the back of the room and kind of shuffle through and get our paychecks type?
Skilled workers, essentially, is what he's saying, is that it's not enough that you're in public service, but you actually need to know what you're doing and how to do it. Then I think some of that comes from the fact that Boris won so overwhelmingly that he really did have a mandate from the voters. And I really, truly hope that that's what we see here with the Trump election, too, is that it's not just enough that Trump gets elected, but all of those people in behind him as well that get elected. And so finally, we really can focus on making America great. Let's go ahead and take a break there. Come back, we'll have more with my producer with the year in review of 2019 and also a year of preview for 2020. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. This is our year in review and our year in preview. And I'm doing that with my producer, Carla Davenport. She's joining me today, coming out from behind the mic. And so in that last segment, we like pretty much with every other guest we've ever had in our lives, I think, didn't quite make it through our list of questions then and things that we're going to be talking about in that first segment. So I'd like to actually kind of roll over in terms of some of the top stories from 2019, because I think one of the things that you'd have to look at is this notion of the year of endless investigations that failed. The Mueller report, of course, was a huge bust that took up the entire first half of the year. The Democrats were just sure that that was the end of Trump, and it turned out to be a colossal bust.
Yeah, and it was embarrassing the way that it all came about, because the Democrats looked to be so ugly in how they approached it, and that they had the knives out. Nothing was there that was substantial as far as their accusations. And then when they got down into the actual facts, it all blew up, and they looked ridiculous.
Well, and certainly the Mueller appearance before Congress itself was pretty embarrassing. I mean, somebody that looked completely befuddled. It almost looked like elder abuse. I mean, he said he didn't want to be there. They forced him to be there anyway. And imagine that being your legacy going out, is that's what people will remember you for, is not all of the other things that you did. Because he was involved with the FBI beforehand and actually had applied for the FBI head, and Trump turned him down on that. But then that's what people remember you for, is this befuddled guy that couldn't remember his own investigation and clearly hadn't done some of his own investigation. He didn't know anything all about Fusion GPS.
Yeah. So we went from there, the befuddled, to the ultra ego. I think that was the other thing that came out of those hearings, was you had someone like Comey, who unbelievable in his presence. and how he came across as being the you know, all-knowing individual, basically godlike, of how he was running things. I mean, it was very incredible to see the deficits.
Yes, and then, in these guys. And then at the end of the year, he said, when the Pfizer report came out, he's like, oh, well, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the credibility factors then became even worse. So yeah, they make their own worse scenarios by bringing those credibility factors forward in such an ugly way. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing, is that they couldn't even hide it.
Well, and then you have the Ukraine investigations,
yes,
where they have that led into the impeachment hearings and all of that. And again, it's just this endless investigation. I mean, who knew that Congress was apparently the fourth branch of government, where they seem to have, they think that they're the judicial and the legislative and the administrative all rolled into one.
But isn't that the swamp? I mean, isn't that what we as voters have seen over and over and over when we've looked for answers, or they've been voted in because of a political policy position, and then they turn around and they just blow it up and they say, oh, no, we're not going to do it that way. Well, that to me is so arrogant.
Well, and not only arrogant, but remember, that's how Democrats got elected, was because they were not going to impeach Trump. That's what they kept telling people in 2018. Oh, we're not going to impeach Trump. We're not going to impeach Trump. And then we find out from Molly Hemingway, the day after the election, she overhears Nadler talking about, we're totally going to impeach Trump.
That's true.
And it's like Democrats only get elected when they don't tell you what they're going to do. And Republicans only seem to get elected when they somehow manage to communicate a complex thought, is this is what we are going to do. This is how we're going to fix the economy. This is how we're going to get jobs. And they seem to struggle over that. But Democrats only seem to get elected when they lie to you and tell you something different of what they actually intend to do.
Well, at least the current ones.
Well, that's true. Well, I don't know. We'll have to... Okay, well, we'll leave that aside. I think one of the other things that really stands out from 2019 was this massive coordinated attack on conservatives. We have seen that before. We saw it back in the Reagan years, where the media was constantly attacking Reagan. We've seen it in the Bush years, when they constantly attacked George W. Bush. He's stupid and warmonger and everything else. And okay, some of that turned out to be true. But this attack on everyday conservatives, where you have people like Maxine Waters saying that we need to be in their face. If you see them in the restaurant, we're going to chase them out of the restaurant. We had Sarah Sanders get chased out of a restaurant. We had the Covington kids and Nick Sandman just absolutely attacked by everybody in the media before they even knew what was happening. They were sure that this kid, because he's wearing a Make America Great hat, must be guilty. But now even Twitter, starting January 1, they have changed their users agreement to explicitly say they can and will shadow ban people that they don't like.
Yeah. And I wondered how many people are going to walk away from that. I mean, you look at what happened, such as to the boy that, you know, the was being yelled at.
With the drum.
And what it turned out to be is that they had enough visual context there that proved him to be in the right, and that he was the one that he's going to end up litigating and winning he already has won some of these early court cases. And it really shows how they all of this, again, it just blows up in their face.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not giving us the truth. And they talk that fake news is not fake news, but yet they prove that it is, because we're seeing in real time what they've done.
Well, and 2019 closed with another episode of fake news, when the fake news all reported that Trump was out golfing during the middle of this attack on the embassy. And it turns out that was not true either.
That's right.
But I think that's the thing, though, is we're in 2019, we truly saw where the once proud news media and journalism lost all sense of standards and threw it out the window because they can't stand Trump and anybody that might support Trump. And I think that was really some of what we were seeing there, too. It's not just that this attack on conservatives, but anybody that dares to oppose the greater system that they're trying to shove through here with socialism and everything else. And you know, I really think that is something, too, that we're going to see here in the next 2020, in this next year, is I think socialism is going to start falling out of favor. We're already seeing that with Brexit. We've already seen that here in the U.S. where we're done with the big government people. I think socialism is something, too, that's also going to be sliding. Just real quick here, I think that the last thing I'd like to bring forward is 2019 was really the year of the right being proved right, as incorrect. I mean, how many stories have we here on iSpy and other right of center news sources done where it's been called conspiracy theory and so on and so forth, only to be proven correct. I mean, the spying on Trump, the FISA abuse, the Obama intel community sabotaging the country. I think all of that's going to come to even more of a head in 2020.
I agree. And I keep wondering, is the mainstream media going to be on finally its last legs? You know, we keep hearing about the possibility that they will end up ultimately having their own death because of their inaccuracies. So I'm waiting. Yeah. I'm waiting to see if that will happen.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, it's nice to be right. About all that's left is for Obama to come out and finally admit that, yes, I really am a Muslim and was born somewhere else. So. All right, everyone, stay with us. Coming back, we'll have more with my producer talking about the year in preview. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to my producer, Carla Davenport, and we're doing both a year in review and also a year in preview. And so I think one of the things that has really been amazing for 2019 and something I really look forward to in 2020 is so many accomplishments by the Trump administration. But I think before we even get there, I think to really truly appreciate what Trump has done, it's important to look back at what he's had to overcome to accomplish what he has accomplished. From day one, literally the day after the election in 2016, there were riots in the streets protesting his election. You had various court challenges trying to bleed off any electoral votes they could. People just simply refusing to believe he's won. And then along the way, certainly we saw a lot of this year. We had the Mueller investigation, which we already talked about. You had Ukraine, the FISA abuse, that IG report that came out. And of course, ending with impeachment. It's really amazing that Trump has accomplished what he has. In fact, we'll have a list up on iSpyRadio.com in 15 categories. This was from WashingtonSecrets.com, I think. And in 15 categories, 319 accomplishments in 3 years. That's like two a week, practically.
Yeah. You know, what's really funny about that, too, because I remember very clearly how you and I reacted when Obama was elected. And it felt as if, in some ways, as if the world had ended, because we were very clear on his connections to the Muslim world. We were very clear on his attitudes towards Americans and his anger about the situations that he felt America was doing, his apology about America.
Yes,
it was very
sad. Blame America first.
Yeah, it was really sad. And so the more he worked, the worse our feelings became. I mean, the more we saw about that. And I guess that's what's really hard to understand, why they just are so upset about Trump, because the more he works, he actually is accomplishing not only what he promised, but their American goals that fit not only under the Constitution, but that are rising people up and out of poverty, or giving them more choices about how to live and where to live. I mean, all the things that he's doing is providing America with everything that it needs to achieve.
Well, and a lot of what people that were opposed to Trump, certainly on the Republican side, a lot of what they had said that they had wanted all those years, and now he's accomplishing that. And I really do think that he is starting to pull things over. But I think you actually exposed something that's very true on an opposition of left versus right. The more you know about socialism, the less you like it. And I think that's what you saw with Obama. The more that he pushed through some of this leftist agenda,
it's depressing.
Well, it's absolutely depressing, because it removes so much of your own individual freedoms. And what Trump is doing, he's working from the right side of the aisle, which is to give people more freedoms. You have to have economic freedom, first of all, to be able to take care of yourself and your family. And that's certainly what we're seeing with Trump. The jobs numbers have been just absolutely astronomical.
Amazing.
I had seen a report recently that said that the Congressional Budget Office back in 2014, somewhere in there, they're predicting that for 2019, the monthly job growth would be about 57,000.
Wow.
And it's been three times that, what they had projected.
Yep.
And I think when you just look through it at you know, setting aside everything else that Trump has done, if you focus on just the economy, it is just astronomical how well we are doing.
Well, it's amazing that he, as an individual, has the ability to be not only so tenacious, but can maintain the focus. I mean, this has to be a pretty brilliant individual that, you know, can walk and chew gum, of course, but the intensity of the attacks, you would think that it would debilitate somebody.
Yeah.
It would make it so that it was hard to even think through these issues, let alone come up with amazing creative ways to make things happen.
Well, and not just that. I mean, I think anybody, if I look back at that field of candidates, can you imagine Jeb Bush in office right now? I mean, he to go through a tenth of what Trump gets on a daily basis. I mean, that man would still be hiding under his desk.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that a lot of those, we would say that they're Republican light, or, you know, they just don't quite carry the Republican mantra. But I don't think you hear that too much about Trump, in the sense that you know where he stands and that he is definitely out there looking out for us. And I think that a lot of that field, and I guess especially with what we've seen being uncovered, is that they were really out for themselves only.
Hmm.
And that's, I think, one of the biggest differences, is Trump has done nothing.
Yeah. And I think that, to a larger point, I think that's very much what we are seeing in that revolt of the voters.
Yeah.
Is that they are done with these politicians who are in it for themselves. I think that's really going to go against Biden.
Yes.
As more and more of Biden's crimes come out, and there were crimes
potential.
That were committed. Well, I suppose we should say alleged crimes, but I think you're going to see some pretty clear evidence coming out of Ukraine, not just on Hunter Biden, but I think on Joe Biden himself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that when we start, and it's hard to leave 2019 and look at all the corruption that has been uncovered.
Yes. Yeah. And I think 2020... for certain is going to be the year of the undoing of this political corruption. You've got the Durham report that's coming out soon.
Is that going to be a report, or do you think that's just going to be...
I think that's a good question. I don't know if it's going to be a report per se. I think it's going to be an allegation, a series of allegations of crimes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And indictments. I think there is kind of a report coming on that, you know, but to be honest, I don't know. But I just think this is, you know, this constant rebellion against these politicians. They are just done with the corruption. They're done with these politicians who get into office, supposedly poor, and they walk away with millions of dollars. So Obama's a perfect example of that.
Yes.
He came into office on a state senator's salary and now has tens of millions of dollars. He just bought a $15 million oceanside villa. So much for the rising seas of global warming. I guess you don't really believe in that if you're going to have a $15 million villa. But again, all of these politicians that profit from their positions of power, I think people are simply done with that. So let's go ahead and take a break there. Come back. We'll continue our year in review and year in preview. Doing that with my producer, Carly Davenport. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show, entering our 10th year. Can you believe that? Our 10th year on the air here in 2020.
A decade.
Yeah.
A decade. Wow.
10 years ago, my producer said, you know, you should do a radio show.
Yeah.
Because back in 2010, Oregon bucked the system. Everybody else seemed to make a shift to the right, and Oregon just didn't. And so the thinking was that, you know, maybe people would make better choices at the ballot box if they just had better information. So that was really the impetus for the show. We are talking about a year in review and also a year in preview here, as I said. And just like to read this, some of this list here. I'm going to kind of excerpt it. It's actually from the White House itself, whitehouse.gov, if you want to go find that. And we'll link it up on iSpyReader.com as well. And this is their news release. It says, Americans saw plenty of Washington at its worst this year. That's for darn sure. With one party in Congress obsessed with a partisan impeachment stunt and obstructing progress at every turn, but despite getting no help from the far left, America today is soaring to new heights. And I'd just actually like to interrupt this. I think that is so true.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine what we could have done, not just this last year, but since Trump was elected. If he had had a Republican Congress get fully behind him, we had both House and Senate when he was first elected. If the Republicans had gotten behind him, it's just astonishing to think where we would be right now. And the reason they didn't get behind him is because of the Russia collusion hoax. You had people like John McCain out there slipping information to the FBI, continuing the Christopher Steele dossier and pushing this as though it's fact. And you had a lot of Republicans believe that. And I really think that is why they never fully got behind him.
You know what I'm hoping for? That in maybe turning the House back, which looks like it's a very possible process that could happen, is that they're going to get more and more of these Trump people that are already successful, and they don't have to sit there and cut deals with the budget people in order to get a law or a new budget through. That we're actually going to finally get down to what do we need to spend and what do we need to save, and not have all of these hidden little agendas in each bill that comes out of the House.
Yeah. Well, there was that little video from, I think, actually a couple years ago. It wasn't last year, where Trump is literally cutting through the red tape, and he has that stack of regulations that they had printed out, the entire regulatory book of the United States, and it is like 6 feet tall. It's as tall, yes, or not taller than Trump. And then he showed what they had done and how they had whittled that down to it. And it's just astonishing to think how much red tape is in the way of people actually accomplishing anything. And
do you remember that first budget that he put together his first year, and it had everybody upset? But in it, he completely eliminated the Department of Education. And everybody's just, I think, jaws were dropping.
Yeah. Well, and again, when you have a businessman in office, it's a very different worldview.
Yeah.
That government needs to not only work for business and work for people, but it just simply needs to work. And I think that's something that Trump has certainly been pushing through. And like you said, I think that as 2020 rolls forward, I think those are the types of congressional candidates that you're going to have coming forward.
I sure
people
hope
that
so.
Actually want to make government work, which means making America great again. Again, this is from the White House. They say it's tough to pick only 10 accomplishments from such an extraordinary year. But here's just a few of the biggest things Trump has gotten done for the American people in 2019. One, the Trump boom is going strong. The unemployment rate recently hit its lowest mark in 50 years. All told, since President Trump's election, our economy has added more than 7 million jobs, over 500,000 in manufacturing alone. You know,
that's amazing.
One of the things I remember from 2019 was we were over in Lincoln City on the coast, and we were out for dinner. And I had gone up to the bar there to place our orders, and there was an anti-Trump person there at the bar, and mm-hmm. she saw my hat. It wasn't a Make America Great hat, but it said had to do with Trump's inauguration, and she was very ticked off that I was there in that bar, and how dare I support Trump? And so I said to her, I'm curious. So what bothers you the most? Is it the fact that you've got millions of more Americans working than you did under Obama? And boy, that just set her off. But I think that's the thing, is you've got 7 million new jobs here in America. And I think Trump will win in a landslide if just those people that have new jobs actually vote for him. So this is two. The stock market keeps breaking records. It's amazing how many record closes we've had since Trump won election. I think it's well over 120 now, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And wow,
it's really astonishing. Like
that's
one,
pretty much
one every 4 days, basically, if I remember my math from earlier, is a new stock market record of some sort. Also, this three, the working class is thriving as our previously forgotten communities' wages are now rising the fastest for low income workers, and poverty rates for African Americans and Hispanic Americans have reached all time lows.
Yeah, and his numbers in those communities have really gone up.
Yes.
His approval rating. So it's not just on paper and people saying that this is happening. It's real.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think the African Americans or Hispanics would be coming at, you know, what are they, about 30% approval for him
now?
I know.
And I think somebody had commented that if he gets 20% of the black vote, it's over for the Democrats.
Yeah, and right now he's got 30.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We will see, because as we all know, people don't always vote the best way that they should for their own sake.
Okay, you have time for just one more, and then we can do some more later. But I'm looking at the clock.
Okay. Okay. Well, what I was going to say was that I think that's what this, in terms of these previously forgotten communities, I think that's one of the things that has been really interesting to watch roll out, is that Trump is really changing the dynamics and the face of the Republican Party itself, because a lot of people used to think of Republicans as being for the wealthy and so on and so forth. But Trump has really made this a working class party.
They have. And there's been a lot of write up about that, that it's changing to the point that Democrats really don't have anywhere to go unless they look at how the Republicans are changing. And then when you look at the corruption that maybe some of the leadership in the Democrat Party are connected to, plus this change, that's going to be pretty unbeatable.
Yeah.
That's going to be very unbeatable.
Yeah, it will be tough for sure. Okay, when we come back, we'll continue our year in review and year in preview, doing that with my producer, Carla Davenport. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talk today to my producer. We are doing both a year in review and a year in preview. Looking ahead to 2020. And so in that last segment, we had left off reading through a list from the White House, listing their own accomplishments for the year, their top 10. Actually, we have a number of these that I'll link up on iSpyRadio.com on this week's show page. There's some great lists out there. In fact, there's one, it's 14 pages of accomplishments, and it's through Washington Secrets. And it lists 15 categories, 319 accomplishments that he's managed to come through. 14 pages. If Obama had done 14 pages worth of accomplishments, it would have been just listing out all of the different leftist organizations that he'd managed to siphon off some government funding to. So,
but 14
pages of accomplishment, it really is rather amazing. So this is number four. Accountable government is back. And I think that we have really talked a lot about that in this show. I think that's been a focus of Trump, for sure.
Yes.
It says, since taking office, President Trump has rolled back nearly 8 regulations for every new one. That's astonishing. I mean, he was saying we need to do one for one, and then it was we need to do two for everyone. But it has saved American taxpayers more than $50 billion in the process, with bigger savings still to come. 8 regulations for that's just astonishing.
Well, it is. And it's such a breath of fresh air. You know, these regulations are laws. You got to abide by them. And it seems one of our guests has said that you can't go more than so many minutes per day without breaking a law, most Americans, because there are so many.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not just regulations. If that's the same one that I was thinking of, it's not just regulations, it's laws that you've broken.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
But yes.
It's astonishing. So this is number five. Better trade deals are putting America back in the driver's seat. And I think that's the other thing, too, is that we really saw in 2019 was that was the year that Trump was proved right in terms of the surgical use of tariffs. I remember in my MBA days, that we would talk in our international business classes and also macroeconomics, that tariffs were a horrible thing and it really violated the free market system. But the problem is that that's only good when both sides are playing by the same set of rules.
Yep.
And in that case, tariffs are bad. However, when you've got somebody like China and some of these other countries that are out there gaming the system and violating the rules of the free market, that's when a tariff can really come forward and really actively, effectively work. And if nothing else, what it has done, it has forced China to the bargaining table. And I think that was a huge accomplishment in 2019.
I think it was huge. And I think it's going to be bigger as they go through the next phases of it, because it's going to start protecting the United States far more than what we ever would consider the possibilities of. I know that as with your background, that you've looked at this free trade issue very much in depth. And it would appear that there was a reason that Americans that were negotiating those earlier deals found that they liked the unfair trade. Don't you think that there whether it be in payoffs or whether...
That's exactly where I was going. As you look at what happened with Biden, and his family was profiting millions of dollars, and you kind of have to now look at
allegedly,
that and say, well, okay, allegedly. I'll concede that. But it really does make you wonder if some of these unfair trade deals, they were somehow getting kickbacks on the backside of things.
Well, you have to wonder. And then Trump is a businessman sitting out there and he's going, wait a minute. Yeah. This doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so part of his brilliance is he was bringing in money people that are brilliant. Mm. I mean, you know, the ones that are successful are the ones that are in there right now handling these trade deals.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just the China trade deal. They also mentioned in that White House briefing, they say that the USMCA is going to be a huge win for U.S. workers, farmers,
yes,
and manufacturers. It will create a paltry 176,000 new jobs. I mean, that seems kind of small in comparison to the 7 million that he's already created. But they do say that it's going to add about $68 billion to the U.S. economy. And that was the other really bizarre moment, I think, when I look back at 2019. Probably the most surreal moment was when Nancy Pelosi trots out that, yes, here are the articles of impeachment. And literally an hour later comes out and says that, yes, while Trump is the devil, we are going to move forward with the USMCA. That was bizarre.
And the real slap in the face of that she was trying to get it, you know, through that at the same time as that it was thanks to the House Democrats that this trade deal is able to fly because they went through and rewrote it. And you know, that is just ridiculous and that she wasn't telling the truth at all about that one. But it was the other thing that you saw was Trump's finesse.
Mm-hmm.
He kept saying, it doesn't matter who gets the, you know, who claims who claims the credit. It's great that Nancy wants to get this through. And so he was backing off and just letting her, you know, make all these atrocious comments, got it passed. And then he comes out and says, I was the one that wrote it. Yeah. I mean, he is wonderful at making sure he gets the job done.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what's going to be said. Things slide off of his back. He wants to get the job done.
Right. And I think that's the other thing, too, from 2019 is I think people are really starting to see that you can't pay attention to what a politician says. It's what they do. Everybody knows that was not Nancy's deal, USMCA.
That's right.
Everybody knows that was Trump's deal. He's only been talking about it for the last 2 years after he did the initial negotiations on that and Democrats
said
on it.
And why he was elected.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was part of why he got elected.
Get rid of NAFTA.
That's right. So, yeah, nice try, Nancy. But real quickly here, some of the other ones. They mentioned trade deal with China. That's a lot. It's about to get a lot more fair as part of a historic phase one. Beijing has agreed to structural reforms in trade practices and to make substantial purchases of American agriculture products. They also mentioned securing the border. That is something that is absolutely huge. He has managed to get billions of dollars for the wall. And also, Breitbart just came out with this a few days ago, which is that net migration is actually down from 2016. And so maybe it's all of those Hollywood celebrities who are actually moving out of the country after all. But in terms of net migration, it's not, we're still plus, but it's down significantly. It's down about 300,000 from its peak in 2016. Also, healthcare. President Trump is fighting to give our patients the best system on earth. While Democrats try to take away choice, the president's focus on affordability led to the largest year-over-year drop in drug prices ever recorded.
Yeah, and this is one we might want to come back and talk about a little bit because of what might be in it and what might not. I don't know if we have enough information to go into any depth on that, but Oregon has a healthcare system that it's going to be real interesting if this even marries to each other.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting. Just real quickly to finish a list, American interests are taking center stage abroad. And just one example, after years of not paying their fair share, NATO allies have increased defense spending by $130 billion by the end of next year. That means that's money that we as taxpayers, U.S. taxpayers, are not having to spend. And then also finally, to round out the list, number 10, our great military took out the world's top terrorists in October. And that was pretty awesome to see that. So, all right, stay with us when we come back. We'll be in our final segment here with our year in review and also year in preview. And coming up, what unfinished stories from 2019 are likely to resurface in 2020. And welcome back in our final segment now here on the iSpy Radio Show with our year in review and year in preview. Doing that with my producer, Carla Davenport. She's also the top and bottom of the news giver, I guess, news girl.
Newscaster.
Yeah, newscaster. There we go. For KFIR, one of our affiliate stations. 7:20 a.m. 7:20 a.m. That's exactly right. So in that last segment there, we had finished up the White House's take on their top 10 accomplishments for 2019. I think one of the things that they just really mysteriously failed to mention was judges.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that, I think, is going to be...
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think that is going to be certainly the legacy of Trump going forward.
I agree.
Especially if he can get reelected in 2020. I mean, you're going to see a completely different America.
And I think that the ninth has already flipped, hasn't it?
I think they're one away from being flipped.
From being... And that's up, though. I mean, they've got a guy in the hopper.
Yeah, there's a guy in the hopper.
I mean, that's the big one, because the ninth is where everybody ran to with crazy environmental issues that really... just about crazy environmental. It wasn't doing really good.
It was legislating. It was legislating via the judges
against the will of the people.
Yeah. Well, because when you can't get it through, you know, your political means, you just run to the courts and sue everybody in order to get it passed.
I know. And they're still trying to take out those dams down in Kay Falls.
Yes. Yes.
And
I think we're going to have to revisit that. That was one of our early big stories.
And the Ninth Circuit might be very, you know, helpful in this, because I think that they're using ways that I think are questionable of how they're going to try to take these dams out.
Well, it will be. And of course, as we discovered when we covered that originally, that was really designed to be a test case.
Yes,
to get those removed, and then they could remove them everywhere
on
the Columbia Basin, Snake River, all up in, you know, all across the United States. Any hydroelectric dam was going to come out, because it was going to save the salmon. I think people need to pay attention to that. Because, I mean, this is...
Even the guy... What was the man's name that used to be part of Greenpeace? The president?
I want to say Patrick Moore, I think.
I think that's right. Anyway, he's the one that's even coming out and just appalled at what they're trying to do with taking these dams out, hydropower away.
As he said, if it has anything to do with efficiency, then the green people don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
Which is just bizarre. So
yeah.
Moving on, because this is our last segment here, and one of the things that we had meant to mention before we get into the stories from 2019 that I think will resurface in 2020, we really ought to look at some of the top stories here within Oregon. And I think top of the list was the $3 billion in new taxes here at the state level.
Yes.
And I think the biggest of those was the non-sales tax, the corporate activity tax. And it was under the guise of saving the children and funding schools, because heaven forbid we actually log any of the timber that by law we are supposed to be logging in order to pay for those schools. It's just amazing to think that this is where we are. And also on top of that, it's not one of the biggest things, but I find it very ironic that the plastic bag ban kicked in the 1990s. We had all of this timber and everything else. The paper used to go to make those paper bags, and now they have banned plastic bags, which means we're back to using paper bags. But all of the mills in the meantime have closed down. So you know, after all those thousands of jobs being lost there because of environmental policies, now we're right back to where we were, except now they charge you 5 cents for those bags that used to be free. But I think that was the other really big story here in Oregon, was the Timber Unity Rally. I was actually there on the Capitol grounds when that happened. It was as big, if not quite as big, I think, as the original Tea Party rally that was held back in the day, but it was pretty darn close. It may have exceeded it. Certainly, when you add in all of the trucks driving around town, it was probably bigger, actually.
I was going to say it made a lot more noise, and it came at a time when many conservatives, I think, in the state of Oregon were really starting to give up hope.
Yes.
And that all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, when that corporate activity or carbon tax, that's what it was about.
Yes.
When that carbon tax was being talked about, all of these truckers showed up and said no. And then after a little bit of research, we found out just how much the trucking industry were dependent on it here in Oregon. Doesn't like 80% of our supplies come through trucking sources?
I think what you're saying is in either 80, I think it was actually 90% of Oregon communities, trucking is the only means by which they can get goods delivered.
Yes.
I mean, it really is.
So this was, I mean, this was just a gigantic, really in your face yelp from people that are extremely important to Oregon.
Yeah. Well, it was rather amazing to see how Democrats were hiding under the desk when everybody showed up. You know, it's kind of funny how Democrats don't like it when people actually show up on their doorstep, you know, democracy and all that. But yeah. But it really was defections within the Democrat Party that led to the end of that carbon tax. It was the representative or senator, I guess, actually up in Gresham that said no to that. But
they're still trying to bring it back.
I was going to say the carbon tax is not going away. It is going to be coming back. And it is something we definitely need to be fighting looking ahead. So
and there's another timber rally in early February.
Yes. Yeah.
So we'll be advertising or talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking ahead here to 2020, we've been doing that kind of throughout the course of the show here. But I think some of the unfinished stories from 2019, things that we haven't heard the last of, I think the biggest one, maybe not the biggest, but certainly up there in the top three, CrowdStrike. There was that CrowdStrike server.
Yes.
And I remain convinced that that is why the left utterly flipped out when they heard about what Trump was talking about on that Ukraine phone call. It was that CrowdStrike server, because that CrowdStrike server was the entire foundation for the Russia collusion narrative. Remember, it was Trump had made that joke about, well, we need Hillary's emails. And then allegedly the Russians hacked into the DNC server, which the CrowdStrike investigators said that, oh, yeah, that was totally the Russians. And now if we can get that server, we can blow all of that up. And then right behind that, I think another big unfinished story is the Durham investigation that is ongoing. I think that is going to really be astronomically huge in terms of what it will do to
politics.
If
indictments come down.
Well, that's
going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Indictments need to come down. But when you look at the timing, and Nancy's response in a lot of this is also extremely interesting, because not only Biden's son's name is attached to Ukraine, but so is Pelosi's son now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got these leadership people.
And John Kerry as well.
And John Kerry's son. But he's not in leadership. Nancy is. And she's the one that has been pushing on this impeachment, all the while her people surrounding her saying, well, it's because of the far left has taken off and they want this to happen. I'm beginning to wonder if it isn't just Nancy that wants it to happen. Mm. So.
Well, I do think that in terms of moving forward on the Obama or Biden investigation, again, it comes back to what we had said earlier, is that it's going to be this continuation of rooting out corruption. And I think that is probably going to be the main story of 2020. Get rid of these politicians who are corrupt and who use the power of their office to make huge profits for themselves and for their family. I think Giuliani's investigation is going to be key. I think you are going to see exposure of the money laundering scheme to enrich Hunter Biden and perhaps Joe Biden himself. We're starting to see little snippets of that coming forward here with the IRS placing a lien on Hunter Biden.
Yes, we are. Yeah. And now I'm going to be your producer talking. You know, we're down in our time now.
We're over. So
we got 9 seconds.
Okay, well, let us know what you thought of all of this, and maybe we'll do it more than once every 10 years. And do let us know what you think are the biggest stories coming in 2020, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.